Largs Naz Online. And you're invited. Come on along with Largs Naz Travel to a land nestled in the Ketuvim, between Job and Proverbs, the gateway to the Tehillim. For six glorious Sundays during July and August, we'll explore the scriptural beauty of Psalm Beach. Not Palm Beach, not some beach somewhere, but Psalm Beach. We set sail on 18 July, departing from largsnaz.org and YouTube. No booking, passports, vaccinations, face masks, or life jackets required. Your fare has already been paid. This exclusive, all-inclusive holiday voyage includes visits to six exciting virtual ports of call. So escape with us again this year to a faraway land of renewal, rejuvenation, and revival. Leave your baggage behind, get your flip-flops on, and from the stateroom, cabin, suite, or cafe of your choice, come as you are to Psalm Beach. The second annual Largs Naz Psalm Beach Getaway. The skies may not always be clear, the sailing may not always be smooth, but it will be an adventure that might change your life. Psalm Beach is a sermon series and should not be misconstrued as an actual vacation, holiday, or event package involving actual travel to or from any destination, or accommodation, room, board, dining, or any other onboard or land-based activity, including snorkeling, shuffleboard, sightseeing, and or laser tag. No refunds will be given for cancellation or postponement, as no payment is requested. Psalm Beach is certified coronavirus-free. T's and C's apply.
We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue.
Just one more thing. Everyone loves to get a postcard from somebody they know who's on holiday. Nothing brightens your day more than a reminder that someone is thinking of you. So we have available these Psalm Beach postcards for you to send to your family and friends. You can let them know about the sermon series, invite them to Sunday brunch, or just let them know that God loves them and so do you. Now, they are Royal Mail approved, so just write what you want, put an address and a stamp, don't forget postage, and you'll bring a little Psalm Beach sunshine to someone's letterbox. You can look for these at the church, and if you don't see them, just ask somebody and we'll get you as many as you need. See you soon.
Good morning, Psalm Beach holiday makers. Welcome to Largs Naz Online. We are so glad you've joined with us this morning. You may notice things look a little different this morning. That's because today is the first Sunday in our six-week virtual holiday to Psalm Beach. We hope you've remembered to wear your vacation attire today, and we encourage you to do so each Sunday as we holiday together. There are exciting things happening at Largs Naz these days, and although we're not meeting for worship on Sundays just yet, we are meeting at the church every Wednesday at 10 a.m. for communal prayer. We're also meeting together for our monthly Second Helping Bible study. The next Second Helping is the 25th of July, and it's always a great time of discussion. You certainly don't want to miss it. We'd like to say good morning to those of you enjoying brunch at our Largs Naz Cafe. We welcome you and we hope you have a great meal and a fantastic immersive dining experience. Please note that today's menu features a fruit in its season yogurt parfait and delicious Tehillim truffles. The Largs Naz Cafe will be open every Sunday starting at 11 for brunch, and the menu changes each week. Due to lockdown regulations, you must make a reservation if you'd like to join us. And to do that, just give us a call at 0756-897-7311. Be sure to reserve your spot by Wednesday. For those of you who haven't yet joined us for brunch, we'd like to invite you. And if you let us know that this is your first visit, your brunch won't cost you a thing. As we continue to worship together, we welcome you again to the Largs Naz online worship service, and we encourage you to join in as we spend some time with each other and with our Lord and Savior this morning. Let's pray. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. To you we offer our praise and prayer, our worship and our thanksgiving, even our very lives. Make your ways known to us. Show us the path on which we should walk. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you alone are the God who saves, the God in whom we trust, and the one on whom we wait. Amen.
Here we go, Psalm 8.
How majestic is your name, oh Lord, our Lord. How majestic is your name, how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Okay, try to sing that out with us now.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name. All the earth. In all the earth we see your hand. In the creatures of the air, the sea and the land, the little babies cry your name. And the enemy is broken by their praise. Oh Lord,
Yahweh,
our Lord,
Yahweh,
how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name, oh Lord,
Yahweh,
our Lord,
Yahweh,
how majestic is your name, how majestic your name, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The moon above, the starry skies, you set your glory in the heavens. So Father, who am I that you would dwell your thoughts on me, put the whole world under my feet. Oh Lord,
Yahweh,
our Lord,
Yahweh,
how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name, oh Lord,
Yahweh,
our Lord,
Yahweh,
how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord,
Yahweh,
our Lord,
Yahweh,
how majestic is your name, how majestic is your name, oh Lord,
Yahweh,
our Lord. How majestic is your name, 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 how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Yahweh, Yahweh.
Mr. Brandon Hancock. Thank you for joining me.
Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the written word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church, and welcome to Psalm Beach. It is a beautiful day here, and we are so happy that you've joined us on this journey, and we are excited to get underway. Now, whether you're joining us from Psalm Beach Central at the Largs NAS Sunday brunch, or you're accompanying us as part of our global online entourage, we welcome you as we return to Psalm Beach. Now, we're using this metaphor of a recreational visit to a holiday destination, a day at the beach, because probably more than any other book in the Bible, the Psalms are very much like a place we might travel to, where we can find some rejuvenation, some revival, where we can be inspired and reinvigorated. Now, we might find comfort and peace and rest, or we might be challenged and energized and enlivened. And we might find a familiar spot that we've visited many times before, or we might see something brand new. And there are 150 locations in the Book of Psalms, so there's plenty to choose from. And we'll be investigating six of them together. You know, Martin Luther called the Book of Psalms a little Bible. He said that a person could find in it most beautifully and briefly everything that's in the entire Bible, and that anyone who couldn't read the whole Bible could have in the Book of Psalms almost an entire summary of it, comprised in one little book. I guess that's why you often find the Book of Psalms included with the New Testament in Bibles like this one, this little blue leather Gideon's New Testament and Psalms that my older sister Kathy gave me way back in 1983. Now Kathy died about 10 years ago, but I can open this up and be transported to a place where our paths cross, a place where heaven and earth meet for a little while. I'm sure some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, because this is the first Sunday in our Psalm Beach series, it's probably a good idea to provide a little background, a little orientation. Now, just as we did last year, for six Sundays, we're going to be exploring the Psalter. Now, that's another word for the Book of Psalms. And on this virtual holiday we're taking to Psalm Beach, it's a good idea when you go on a beach holiday to take a phrase book or a travel dictionary so you can understand the local language. And so each Sunday, we're going to have in our listening guide a Psalm Beach phrase book. That'll be a section where you can find definitions of words and phrases that might need to be translated. Now, the Psalm Beach phrase book will also be on the big bulletin board in our real life church building. And the first word that we're going to add to our phrase book is one that you heard in the promotional video about this sermon series, the one that Pastor Tasha did the voiceover for. And in that video, Pastor Tasha says, "Come on along with us to a land nestled in the Ketuvim," as if Psalm Beach were in that area. And it is, but to be clear, the Ketuvim is what the Book of Psalms is part of. It's the Hebrew word for the section of the Hebrew Bible that we call the Writings. That's the third section after the Torah and the Prophets, the Ketuvim. And the Ketuvim contains 11 books, and three of them are called the poetic books. That's Psalms and Proverbs and Job. So the Psalms are poetry. They're poetic prayers. And some are very much like poems or songs, while others of them feel more like prayers. You may have heard of people praying the Psalms as part of their daily devotions. And some, if not most, or even all of the Psalms would have been used at some point in Hebrew worship in the temple. So the Book of Psalms is a collection of this poetry, and it's divided up into five collections, five books. And the Hebrew word for the entire collection, what we call the Book of Psalms or the Psalter, is Tehillim. And that's why in that video and on the graphic on our postcard, you'll see that we refer to Psalm Beach as the gateway to the Tehillim. And why our menu at Sunday brunch features Tehillim truffles today, which are delicious, by the way. But what Tehillim literally means is praises. Praises. And that gives you an indication of the overall theme of all the Psalms. It's praise. So what the Book of Psalms is about in general is about praise. And if you look at the five Psalms that come in a row at the very end of the Book of Psalms, we'll look at some of them at the end of this series, you'll see that that is the final word we're left with, as they all begin with the phrase, praise the Lord. Now, as we go along in this series, we'll talk about what kind of work, what kind of text each psalm we look at is. Now, if you joined us last year, you'll remember that we talked a lot about how the Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann had a very helpful way of looking at the Psalms. He used three categories, three themes in his little book, The Spirituality of the Psalms. That's this little book right here. And this is a wonderful book if you're looking for a short, very accessible, but very scholarly and inspirational book to read as we're in this series. You can get it on Amazon for about £7. And be sure to get The Spirituality of the Psalms by Walter Brueggemann, because there are other books by the same title by different authors. His little book called Praying the Psalms is also worth checking out. But last year, we followed Brueggemann's lead, and you may remember that Brueggemann says there are psalms of orientation and disorientation and reorientation. Now first, psalms of orientation talk about the way the world and life ought to be, the ideal, the way the created cosmos is reliable and equitable and abundant and generous and predictable. Life is a day at the beach. Life is not unlike the tides on the shore with their regularity and abundant resources. Seasons come and seasons go. Things make sense. And the Psalms that praise the way the creation works in shalom and harmony and peace and wisdom. Psalms about the Torah, the law, and about scheduled, predictable life events like birth and marriage and death and seed time and harvest. All of these are reflected in Psalms of orientation. Got my toes in the water? Life is good today. God's in his heaven and all's right with the world. That's orientation. But not all of the Psalms are like that, because not all of life is like that. Orientation is ideal, but life is not always ideal. You can't live on a permanent vacation, on a never-ending beach holiday. Stuff happens, sin happens, suffering happens, oppression happens, injustice happens, racism happens, pandemics happen, death happens, war happens. And so just as there are psalms of orientation, there are psalms of disorientation. Psalms that cry out for God to deliver them, for answers. Psalms that ask, what is the meaning of this? Psalms that ask God how long he will wait before bringing salvation. Psalms that wonder if God has fallen asleep or forgotten his promises. Psalms that don't offer trite answers like Job's friends did in the face of his suffering. But psalms that, like Job, lament loudly and descriptively. But even in the midst of that lament, there is praise, because you don't cry out to a God who is powerless. You cry out for salvation to a God who can save you. So then, thirdly, there are psalms of reorientation. Psalms that tell the story with thanksgiving of the way that God took a situation that seemed hopeless and transformed it. The way that God brought justice from injustice, liberation from oppression, new life from death. Orientation, disorientation, reorientation. Now, it's important to remember that sometimes, especially in a psalm of reorientation, when the psalmist is giving thanks for being rescued from a situation, for instance, we'll see all three of those themes as the story is told of how things were going well, orientation, then trouble came, disorientation, but God brought deliverance, reorientation. Now, there are lots of ways of categorizing the Psalms, of course, and it's a helpful thing to do because there are 150 of them. It's a lot of real estate to try to get a handle on. And so another way of thinking about the Psalms is to consider their genre. In the same way that in a bookstore, we might categorize books by genre. So we'd have fiction and nonfiction and comedy and biography and cookbooks and biology textbooks. And in a record store, we'd see blues and rock and bluegrass and classical music. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to use five categories to talk about the types of psalms we'll be exploring. Now, we'll talk about each one of these categories over the next 6 weeks. We'll see at least one of each of the five types, and when we deal with that, we'll talk about the categories that it fits in and how it fits into it. But right now, I want to let you know what those five categories are. Now, first, some psalms are laments. And these can be individual or community laments. These are psalms where there's a crisis. It might be an illness or false accusation or a war or a famine, and there's a call to God for help. That's a lament. Secondly, there are hymns of praise. Now, we've already mentioned the way that the book of Psalms ends with several hymns of praise in a row, and these are psalms that invite the Psalms audience to join in praise and adoration to God, and typically talk about why He is worthy of it. Now, third, there are Psalms of thanksgiving, and these can be individual or community thanksgivings, just as there are laments that say, we're in trouble, please help us. There are Psalms of thanksgivings that say to God, thank you for helping us. Now, fourth, there are royal psalms. Royal psalms are called that really, not really because of their literary characteristics, their style, or their content, but because they originate from an event associated with a Davidic king in Jerusalem. Maybe a coronation or a battle or an anniversary celebration. And we'll look at a royal psalm next week. And finally, there's the category that today's psalm fits into, and those are wisdom psalms. Now, wisdom psalms are those psalms that some scholars say derived from the wisdom tradition in ancient Israel. Now, that's the philosophy and the theology that we find primarily and most obviously in the book of Proverbs, where this is an overgeneralization and an oversimplification, and the basic idea is this: do good, love the Lord, and things will go well, and you'll be happy. Don't, and they won't. Simply put, the wisdom tradition reflects that sense of orientation that we've mentioned. The wisdom tradition, think about the things we read in Proverbs and the way Job's friends responded to him when he was suffering. The wisdom tradition sees life and the world and the whole universe and everything as ordered and predictable and just. Things make sense. There's a clear delineation, a clear contrast between good and evil. The good and the righteous is associated with happiness and blessing and prosperity, and the evil and the ungodly is associated with suffering and lack and misfortune. But Just as there's more to life than the good times, the times that make sense, there's also more to the Psalms than just the Psalms of wisdom. And the way that the wisdom tradition sees the world doesn't always line up with the way we may be experiencing it. But the way the wisdom tradition sees the world can be a good reminder that its point of view is the truth about life and the universe and everything in general, in overall terms. When you consider life as a whole, even though in specific terms things may not seem to be going well, things may not make sense, but as the modern psalmists Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs have reminded us in song, we can know that the good times outweigh the bad. Now, as we explore today's psalm, Psalm 1, we'll talk more about the wisdom tradition and we'll prepare ourselves to move forward, to advance and progress into the fascinating land we'll be exploring over the next 6 weeks. Now, Psalm 1 is more than just the first psalm. It also functions as a preface, not just to the first book, Psalm 1 through 41, but to all 5 books of the Psalter, the whole book of Psalms. In fact, Psalm 1 was, in some versions of the Psalter, an unnumbered introduction to the book, the whole book. And so there's a sense that Psalm 1 provides the reader with an orientation, a guiding theme, and an introduction to some of the main characters, namely the Lord and the godly and the ungodly, that'll be seen in the next 149 Psalms that follow. So Psalm 1 gives us a sense of the overarching message that we're going to see guiding us as we work our way through the Psalm. Psalm 1 gathers us together and gives us a sort of universal meaning to the whole collection of the Psalms, a way of understanding it as we move forward. Just as the wisdom tradition's sense of orientation provides a consistent and abiding truth about life and the way we progress through it, and that sense of wholeness, that sense of generality that Psalm 1 provides is emphasized by the fact that Psalm 1 is composed with an intentional poetic structure that we often find in wisdom literature. Because in the original Hebrew, the first word of the psalm begins with the first letter of the alphabet, and the last word of the psalm begins with the last letter of the alphabet. And this gives the psalm a sense of totality, a sense of all-inclusiveness, like some holiday resorts where everything is included from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega. And the overarching, totalizing message that Psalm 1 presents us with is this: there are two ways to live. There are two kinds of people, two ways to be, and they are in stark contrast with each other. And so Psalm 1 uses antithesis, contrast, to talk about the wicked and the godly. Now, the psalmist begins by saying, "Happy are those who..." Now, the word that's translated as happy here sometimes is translated as blessed in some versions of the Bible, but the Hebrew is esher. And one of the things that makes esher unique here is that it not only means happy, but the word that it is derived from means to go straight on, to advance, to move forward. And we'll see that this sense of the godly as the ones who move forward with purpose, whose path is straight, continues throughout the psalm. Even in English, we might talk about a person who is straight as opposed to crooked, which means evil or wicked or criminal. To tell it to me straight is to be honest, to get to the point. And so the psalmist is going to tell us about the godly who are happy, about the righteous who make progress, who advance, whose way is straight. But the psalmist does so by immediately contrasting the godly with those who are not, with the wicked and sinners and scoffers. The psalmist begins by telling us that happy are those who do not do 3 things. Happy are those who do not, 1, follow the advice of the wicked. The word for wicked there is rasha. We'll see it again in a little bit. Happy are those who don't listen to to what the wicked have to say, who don't allow themselves to be instructed by the wicked. So this is about instruction. 2, happy are those who do not take the path that sinners tread. That word for sinners is a different word from rasha. It refers to criminals, those who are guilty. Happy are those who don't follow their example, who don't move down the path that the ungodly have taken. So this is about behavior. And 3, happy are those who do not sit in the seat of scoffers. Another word here for those who mock and ridicule wisdom and truth. Happy are those who do not plant themselves in one spot and critique and deride the truth. So this is about attitude. But, and here comes the contrast, here is a picture about where those who are happy get their instruction, about their behavior, and about their attitude. Hear this now. The psalmist says, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. Here's the picture of their attitude and the source of their instruction, the law of the Lord, the Torah. And this means not just the written Torah, the Pentateuch, but the Lord's direction and the Lord's word. This is what Jesus was referring to when he said, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So that's the attitude of the one who is happy. Delight. That's where the one who is happy receives instruction from the Torah. And now the psalmist tells us about the behavior of the one who is happy. The psalmist writes in verse 2, on his Torah they meditate day and night. Now that word that's translated meditate there, it means to recite in a low voice as one thinks about and contemplates the scriptures. It's what a person does who prays the psalm, saying them out loud in a state of reverence and openness. So the psalmist here has contrasted the happiness, the forward progress of the one who is godly with the one who is wicked by telling us about the source of their instruction, about their attitudes, and about their behavior. Now the psalmist moves on to give us some more description of what the godly are like, saying they are like trees planted by streams of water. They are near their source of life and nourishment, and they are connected to it day and night, 24/7. And so they yield their fruit in season. Here again is that wisdom orientation, sense of order. There's a time to produce fruit, and it's not always harvest time. They produce fruit in its season, according to the timetable of the gardener, when the time is right. By the way, the yogurt parfait at the Sunday brunch today features fruit in its season. They produce fruit in its season. So it's not always harvest time, but the psalmist tells us that their leaves are always green. They are always filled with life because they are planted near the source of living water and they aren't moving away from it. So their leaves do not wither. In fact, in all they do, they prosper. Now the word that's translated as prosper here is an interesting one. It's selak. And it can be translated as to prosper, but it literally means to rush forward, to advance, to progress, which you'll remember is what Esher, that word for happy, meant back in verse 1. So while we might be tempted to think of prospering as getting rich or acquiring a bunch of stuff, a bunch of wealth, the kind of prospering that Psalm 1 is talking about is moving forward, progressing, getting somewhere. And so there's some irony here in that the ones who are like trees planted by streams of water are also the ones who are making progress, who are on the move, who are headed in the right direction. They're not sitting still in the place of scoffers. They're not spinning their wheels. They're not treading water. They're not taking the path that sinners tread. And so they prosper, not by the world's standards, perhaps, but by eternal standards. They are on their way toward the goal and they are making good time. And then in the last 3 verses of the psalm, the psalmist turns our attention back to the wicked, the rasha. And the psalmist says that the rasha are not like trees planted by streams that bear fruit and whose leaves don't wither, Those who are happy and prosper, moving forward, progressing toward their goal, know the wicked are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Now the word there for wind is ruach. It's the word for breath and wind and spirit. It's the word that's used for the Spirit of God that Adam is filled with when he becomes a living being. It's the Spirit of God that moves upon the surface of the deep waters in creation. But the wicked are not filled with the ruach. They are driven away by it. They are dispersed and dissolved by the very spirit and breath and wind that could bring life and power and wholeness. The very spirit by which Jesus is raised from the dead. The spirit that guides and directs those who yield to its direction. But the wicked are not so. And so they won't stand in the judgment. Sinners won't be found in the congregation of the righteous, because the way of the wicked, their twisted path, their wandering off course, their crooked approach will perish. It will not last. I can't help but hear Jesus' imagery of the vine and the branches here, those branches that bear fruit and those that are cut off and cast away. The imagery is so similar. But the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. As they advance, as they progress, their path does not lead to destruction, because they are going somewhere. They have a destination. They are heading toward the promised land, toward the new Jerusalem, toward a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar, where the Father waits over the way, where he has prepared for us a dwelling place. And so Psalm 1 gives us an orientation for the Psalms to come. But it also gives us a guide to our lives as well. Because even though we may not always feel happy, we may not always think that it looks like we're prospering, we may feel like our leaves are withering, we may feel disoriented, stuck and weighed down, like we're not making any progress whatsoever, that's the time when we can come to this place of orientation, when we can be reminded by the writers of the wisdom Psalms that even though our real life situation may not reflect the way Psalm 1 describes it, we can pray this psalm. We can meditate on the word here in Psalm 1 day and night. We can speak it aloud, because praying this psalm in the midst of disorientation can be a form of protest against the way that things are, and a plea for the way things could be, a prophetic judgment upon strife and division and suffering and injustice, and an anticipation of the way things will be, a way of bringing about reorientation, like a holiday, a time of rest and rejuvenation and revival, like a day at the beach.
Go with confidence into the days ahead, trusting in God's unfailing love and faithfulness. God will not abandon you, for you are the work of his hands, his own creation, and his love endures forever. So go in joy to love and serve the Lord.
Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Son and Holy Ghost. simple creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.